Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you compelling, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program they've worked on that caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Becoming Vibrantly Alive, comes from the audio program, The Urban Monk's Inner Stillness Program, How to Open Up and Awaken to the Infinite River of Life, with Dr. Pedram Shojai. Here's what Christy Peoples, a producer at Sounds True, has to say about this week's producer's pick.
From my earliest conversations with Pedram Shojai, I knew working with him was going to be inconvenient. Let me clarify. I knew the program he was proposing would go deep. It was going to challenge old ideas I'd been holding on to that no longer served my interests. It would stir some of my most shadowed patterns of sabotage. It would rouse me from sleep. Inner stillness was going to be disruptive. In this program, Pedram introduces us to the great work, which is the work of self-transformation. Here, he explains that a central part of this process requires us to explore the limitless energy of qi. Far from being a passive practice, it's a way of life, he says. It's not an abstract thing. It's how we are to live. We must become channels for qi. Yet, he says, we are where the circuit breaks. We limit the flow of this energy through us, and our perception clouds our vitality. It's a case of mistaken identity, thinking we exist as separate from the universe. But once we understand the fullness of who we are, we have no other choice than to wake up, coming fully into consciousness, vibrantly alive.
You can download the entire program, The Urban Monk's Inner Stillness Program, at soundstrue.com. And now our producer's pick, Becoming Vibrantly Alive with Pedram Shojai.
And I want to be very careful about how we approach this practice. People will take bits and pieces of these alchemical traditions and teach them out of context to Westerners who are traditionally more stagnant, spend more time sitting, less time moving their legs, breathing clean air, and using the qi in their body to drive the blood flow. And then the results will be lacking. So I put it to you that it's critically important as we get into the exercises of this section to know that they are a part of a whole. You must stay active. You must become more active. You must use your legs. You must breathe clean air and keep your body moving because the exercise will drive the qi flow. And then it becomes much easier to do these practices and use your mind to drive qi. But we need to prime the pump with activity. We are human beings that have evolved for hundreds of thousands of years, hunting, gathering, climbing trees, ducking and dodging, jumping and moving and swimming, and all the things that got us to the point where we were able to survive against beasts that were far superior in strength because we were able to use our minds and our bodies. Now we're incredibly good and effective at going to abstract places with our minds and using our math and our science to create tools to not need to use our bodies as much. But the price has been heavy. We must move to come to life and stay vibrantly alive. And so the physical work is welcome. The daily exercise is welcome. And as we get into the practices of this section, know that moving qi isn't just an abstract thing that you're doing with your mind, trying to twirl energy through energy meridians while you're sitting in some practice while the rest of the day you go about your life. Moving qi is a way of life. moving with qi is how we are to live. The vibrant energy that comes through us as we become a channel and a capacitor for this energy is really the name of the game. And so this is a piece that we need to spend some time teasing out, because our understanding of energy in our Western minds has really, again, become a product of some of the capitalistic thinking of assets and liabilities. Do we have more energy? Do we need more energy? Well, if we don't feel well, we can borrow energy from tomorrow by drinking a couple cups of coffee. And so energy in this equation of energy economics has been a bit skewed, because we believe it's our energy. And so the Taoist perspective of this is an important piece to understand, because getting out of the way of an incomplete understanding of reality is what's going to liberate our practice. Much of what we do is restricted by our understanding of the universe and our belief systems that are limiting. So when we think of energy as our energy, and our energy is either up or down, we can access energy or we try to stockpile energy, what we're doing is we're showing the universe that we are in a fundamental imbalance in our understanding, that this energy has never been ours, our bodies are on borrowed time, and that the flow of this energy through us, through this focal point that we call our bodies, that's really an assembly point of slower moving energy that are now looking like molecules in a body in which we dwell, is really just a conduit for all the energy of the universe. The atoms in our body come from stars that exploded billions of light years ago and have traveled through the universe and somehow assembled in a dusty rock that then began creating life. And here we are in these fully functioning, moving bodies, having identities that we take so seriously and energy that we think is our own. So I just want to give a little pause here as we get into the practice, to put some energy into understanding that we are where the circuit breaks. We and our perception of who we are and our limited definition of who we are, who we think we are, limit the flow of this energy through us because of our identity. Our perception is what's clouding our vitality. In electronics, there's this concept called impedance, and that's why gold has been so valuable historically, because it's a wonderful conductor of energy, of electricity. And so impedance in the channel is where that flow is blocked by imperfections. And so some of the conversation in alchemy and this concept of turning lead to gold really revolves around this understanding that going to this pure metal and transforming our base elements and turning them into this pure metal that is 100% conductive puts us in alignment with the flow of all the energy in the universe. And that lead, part of that lead, is the perception that we as individuals exist separately than the rest of the universe. And so a big part of our understanding of alchemy, and where a lot of people have gone wrong, is in trying to attain immortality for themselves. And their sense of self is the lead that can never be transmuted. So part of this practice, the central part of this practice, to be exact, is really in allowing the understanding of who we are to shift. And in the Buddhist traditions, they call it, killing the ego, is in really feeling where our personality, our operating system, our sense of self, and our storefront is getting in the way of our practice, is getting in the way of the flow of the universe. And some of these things are such presuppositions, and some of these presuppositions are so highly embedded in the operating system of who we are and how we function that they often go unquestioned. So as we learn to move with qi, we have to learn to move with the changing tides of our self-definition. We have to allow for our self-definition to be watered down, and we have to wake up to who we truly are and not be so fixated on who we think we are, who we insist we are, or who we think we'd like to be. So getting into this practice, we need to stay active, not just physically, but energetically, emotionally, and interpersonally, allowing that movement and that dynamic flow to really challenge our self-definition and challenge our habituation to fall asleep and stagnate and become heavier and denser. If you look at the state of affairs in the Western world, most people sit too much. They focus on entertainment that's mind-numbing. They eat foods that bring them down. They are less active. Sports are on TV, and so life has become a spectator sport. And this is the world, this is the culture from which we're trying to emerge. This is the phoenix rising from those ashes. And so for your practice to be successful, you must move on all levels, mind, body, and spirit. And as we get into the practices, you have to understand that they're built on the foundation of a vibrantly alive, active human that is breathing fresh air, moving their body, and constantly looking to where they're getting stuck and allowing the energy of the universe to move through them.